Hey, how are you? It's Murimu here. Welcome to Black Law Tribal Edition. And you're listening to this program thanks to our friends at Bumblebee Pro Media. And, of course, thanks to the Yidinja Broadcast Service. The intention of this program is to inform and educate people outside of the Yidinja Territory and on the Yidinja Territory who may not be familiar with the ways of the Yidinja Nation and the culture and language and the laws. And we just wanted to share this information with you because you might want to think about setting up your government for your mob down the track, or you might be already doing it. So we hope you're doing that as well. But anyway, recently, the police minister, Bumi of Gimoibara, gave a speech to 10 police officers. Our 10 police officers recently to talk about a national plan and all that stuff. And today he joins us, and he's with us now. We've also got Yirilum, the Minister for Education, and of course Ganyara, the Attorney General, and we've got Guili also in the studio. But Bumi, let's start with you first. That was a very good thing when you spoke to the police officers. What did you say? Can you describe your tell that story to the people out there?
Well, what I said to the police officer now of Yidinji that we're going to do it sober and do it properly for the Yidinji people of Cairns. It's a protection for the people, and that we're going to stand up now. We've never been standing up for a very long time, and in Yidinji, like Gimoi now that we're in now, and we're going to do a good job because we're ready to go now in Cairns.
And it's a serious position because they didn't rock up in thongs and T-shirt, did they? They were in their police uniforms.
That's right. Yeah, they were in their police uniform, and it's really lift me up and that we can move on now and do our work. But it was very good that when you come to Cairns, you will see our uniform. And we want to keep it up now, yeah, to protect the people of Cairns, you know.
Yeah, the Yidinji citizens, but also you've said it on this program before that you want to look after the homeless people and some of the people that are from other communities, just to talk to them and let them know that you're here to help them and, you know, also to tell them not to muck around too much, etc., but things like that.
Yeah, well, that's good, that. And I want to be part of their life too as an elder, you know, of Cairns. And It's a good job because Dad had that job. Charlie Ide's real name was Boa, and Dad was named Bumi. I'm Bumi now, and I want to do that job. You know, not step forward, but it's my job to do it. Because cultural thing is a very important thing to people like us now, and as a tribe, as an elder tribe, and we see the things are not doing good for them. And when we stand up and go and walk with them and talk with them, they'll know that there is a traditional man of this town, you know, like Gimoi Nan. I really want to play that role with them and tell them about alcohol and walking around, tell them to, they're going to stay here, they need to come out and eat a ham, brother, and to get a flat. And we can walk and talk with them. And you know, we've got a nice little office down here at Murumuya, Gunjara, and Yirilum. And I also got my daughter here, Guyala, and so she come aboard now. So a big mob of us, big mob came now and to Gunjara and Murumu, and so they're like a magnet now. So we're ready to go now to put our hand out, you know.
Yeah, I think police is very important. It's an important job to keep the peace. And as you were saying before, you come from a line of peacekeepers and law holders, and that's a very important thing because I know for a fact that, you know, that there are certain ceremonies and things that took place on this land here, and that your family was one of the leaders in making those things happen. So it's different from, let's say, someone else moving here and doing that role. You here, you carrying the law with you in your, not only in your blood, but in your heart, and you want to give that out and share that. I think it's going to be really good because that means they're going to be some sort of relief for Queensland Police or Australian Federal Police. They don't have to go and do that anymore, and because I know that they might want to do other things rather than just talking to countrymen or community mob, and they might think they're wasting their time, but even though they're not, but we might be able to help them out with that.
Yeah, and that's good, thank you, Mom. Like now, like Uncle now, I'm a traditional owner of this land too. So the police can get a feed off us too, you know, about talking to them, you know, and directing them and sitting down with them, you know. And when the police are there, I like to be there too. We've got to have the police, and really they're going to have us too to talk to them, you know. So, I mean, we got these homes, you know, where they go in the Quickly Street, and that it's a good time to get them when they're sober too. So they're laying on the street and all this and that. We need to help them then. Why they don't want to go back home, or well, we can help them here, you know, and to strengthen them, you know. We don't want to chuck people out and say we can't do it. We've got to do this job and help them, you know.
Yes. Euron, I might bring you in this one because that was Uncle was talking about the coexisting sovereignties there and how, I guess, the Australians get something to gain from this because of cultural immersion. Cultural immersion, whether you're a police officer in Queensland or an Australian federal police officer or an agent inside the Commonwealth somehow, this is that really important bridge that has been missing but now currently exists with the SYG.
Yeah, of course. You know, and as Bumi is explaining, you know, it's the opportunity for the Australian forces, the Queensland Police, all these different agencies to walk with us and learn from the Yidingi way and all the wisdom that's carried with the likes of Bumi and what he's sharing with everybody, and how to get together, you know, how to get together and get along, and work with people. It's not enforcement. It's different to that, you know, peacekeeping. So, like you're saying, it's an opportunity for through the schooling, through the language, for everybody to come to that understanding.
Ganyara, you know, in lieu of a treaty, the Yidingi Nation has to protect itself. It has to have its police force. It has to have its officers in uniform, because we've grown up now in terms of a paper office, you know, and how we interact with the modern world. Before, the police officer here, they even have certain markings on their body to identify how high up they are, and they hold the law. But Yidingi people don't do that now. Some of them do, might be, but still. But it's all about up here now. And that's what I'm saying. We got to sort of somehow reflect that to a modern way where the other mob don't get frightened from it, or they can see what it is. People can see that police badge, they can see police uniform, they know it's police.
Well, let's look at it from a purely technical point of view. The problem is, for Queensland Police, is they're actually limited by the framework of their constitution. They can't exceed their constitution. That creates their identity, basically, or them. Now, Yidingi aren't Australian. We're outside of Australia. We're exempt from Australian law. That's got nothing to do with this. How does a law apply to us? How does Australia have some of its law applied to the Yidingi people? It can't. It physically cannot. So from a technical point of view, they need Yidingi police more than we need them. Our police can arrest anyone in country that's in the territory. No ifs, no buts about that. First in time, sovereignty. You know, the whole box and dice. Our mob were first. We're still here. Now we've got laws. Laws that are written down, by the way. We had law all along. But in saying that, like, the Minister for Foreign Affairs and Trade does not hold any other citizenship in any other nation anywhere in the world other than Yidingi. So who can apply law to him, for example? Queensland Police can't, because they said to him one day, if you're not one of ours, get out, there's the door. So the framework of the Constitution limits Queensland Police. Now, when they bring members down from other communities, for example, other tribal nations, they release them into society here in Gimoi, which they want to call Cairns. Now, maybe they're not subject to Australian law either, or Queensland law. Maybe they have proper tribal connection. And the only one who can then sort it out, or, you know, go and talk to them are really, as you just rightfully point out, the Yidingi police and the Yidingi police commissioner. And so this is what I'm saying. They need us. We don't need them. They need us more so. It's the technical point of view that's the problem for them. Our constitution creates our police, their constitution creates their police. And I'll tell you what, there's only one group of police who have consent, permission to be here, and it ain't their police.
Yeah, I think that's very important. And for those listening out there, whether you're part of the QPS or the AFP, we've done this to protect everyone, actually, and to look after the Commonwealth, the Queen of Australia, the parliaments, the courts and everything else. I think it's very important that as we conveyed at the opening of the law season last year, there with at the Ghimoi courts or the Cairns courthouse, that encouraging the Australian actors not to exceed the authority vested in them according to their constitution, they can't deal with the Yidinji. You're right, and only Yidinji can deal with the Yidinji, and any person or thing on our territory, and for that matter, so any man. Or it doesn't matter what piece of paper they're holding, the Yidinji police can stop them and have the authority to quiz them and ask them what they're doing. You know, whether they get a visa or not, them kind of thing. But Bumi, that's what I'm saying. They they can see that uniform now. They can see that badge.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's you'll see it all right. You see the badge now, and like Murama said that. About our mark on our body. Well, you see us now, you know, that we're here for you to talk. And yeah, coming back to that badge, I really like it because I've got a photo of Dad standing on a beach with his shield. So yeah, and we'll have a truck soon or something, and we can drive around and yeah, to talk to people and, you know, go around in the shopping centre and show ourselves first, and we can do all the other rest on the, like on the street or somewhere there, and going to school, you know. Yeah,
I think it's going to be a great thing and a good public relations story for the world, actually, because we've seen some videos recently. Remember, we were watching it there last week, I think it'd be a week before, about the Cherokee and the Navajo police, how they got their cars and the uniforms, but they're still under United States law over there because they. Getting paid by the US government to do all that, even though they have some sort of sovereignty on their community. They're like a community liaison police, really, but ours is a lot different now.
Different, yeah.
Yeah, so it's a different jurisdiction, different law system. It's like if I'm going to go to Japan tomorrow, I'm going to be under their law because I'm traveling to their land. If anyone, doesn't matter if they're from Melbourne, Sydney or New York, coming here, they're under Yidinji law. We don't care where you're from. We don't care if you're the Prime Minister of this country or that country. You're still under our law. And that law is to protect you and look after you. Even though we mightn't agree with you, we've got to still look after them. That's the law here. So it's not to pick on anyone or be bully men proper way and taser people. You know, our police don't have any firearms or... tools to use for combat, because it's more of a talking and dialogue role for us, because we've got the truth, you know. And I think that treaty with Australia will help QPS do all that, tackling the criminals and the bank robbers, and AFP looking after all the money laundering and all the terrorists and all that stuff. Our police is to look after our citizens, but also to help the world with the peace, order and good government of it.
It sure is. You know, as we were saying, their police can't touch us, which is rather wrong. You know, if there's some one group based on a societal, I suppose, structure, can't be touched by others, you know, that could be a form of like a dictatorship, which is really not right. Everyone deserves a fair go on this earth. You know, we're all humans together. But it is important to remember, though, that the Yidinji police were always here. And it's a double-edged sword, law. It protects you, but you also got to abide by what the society deems as good for your society. You know, you can't have one lot going out rape, pillage and plunder, for example, which would be against your society's belief. That's what the police go and stop that. So they've got many roles, not just protecting the citizen, but enforcing the law. Because where you have law, you must have a means of enforcement and then a means of sorting out if the police officer was right or wrong in enforcing that law, which is what you call courts. And Yidinji had this system of dispute resolution. So it's all there. It's all sitting there ready to go. But we just got to work out this treaty with Australia. You know, they're the ones that don't have consent to be here yet, the Australian identity, the Australian people. We've got to try and look after them as well, best we can. They need our help. They really do, because they've made a mess of everything, and they can't fix the problem. They can't do a treaty with us, as in offer us a treaty. We've got to offer it to them. You know, this is all about education, about who can do what, you know, who has what, who, where do we all fit in the big world of things. So we've got to offer Australia some sort of formal agreement to be here and do some of our work, you know. I'd rather not be working 7 days a week. I'd rather be doing a bit of fishing here and there, you know, just take it a bit easy, especially as you get older. You know, lucky uncle here is not that old, eh? He's got plenty more years to go. But we need to try and, you know, outsource some of the work to Australia, and that's basically what the treaty does. It shows how we're going to share power on this bit of territory, and that's all it is. There's nothing more, nothing less, because our society is always going to be here, and Australia is always going to be there. But we've got to work out how we're going to interact together and how we're going to work as one.
You're listening to Black Law Tribal Edition right across the planet today, thanks to the Edinger Broadcast Service and our friends at Bumabibra Media, 98.7 FM, which have consent to broadcast this show on our territory. And by the way, if you're listening to this outside of our territory or in the Australian jurisdiction, it's via the National Indigenous Radio Service. We'll be back after the break.
Traveling in a brand new trope on a mini trailer full of stories. I met a strange dollar, she made me nervous. She took me in and gave me money.
And she said,
we come from a land down under. Where dollars smile and meaning plunder. Fighting back from a man in the wind. He was 6'4", Nagi Muke. I said, you're speaking my language. Conwingo. He smiled and gave me a petty mark, my name.
Said,
you come from a long time under.
Hey, welcome back to the show. Murumu here with you. Black Law Tribal Edition is the name of the program, and I hope you're enjoying it. We've got a full house here today. There's an interesting article that you may not be able to see. It's from Indigipreneur. It's on a social platform called LinkedIn. If you've got a, it's free to join, and if you create a profile, you can follow certain things. It's a bit like Facebook, but for, I guess, for business people and companies and stuff like that. So there's an article by Dean Foley, who's the founder at Barra Yamal. I hope I said that correctly. He's saying the problem with the financial system, a First Nations perspective. He's recently published it as of the 21st of February, and this is what he said. The financial system is one of the most important systems in our lives, but it has a long history of colonialism that has had negative consequences for First Nations communities. Colonial banks and mortgage companies formed in the 1830s, which profited from stealing land and the genocide of Indigenous people. We'll talk about that a little bit later in the program with an article about the Bentinck Island mob just near Mornington Island there, but let me keep reading this program. Story. The impacts of this legacy are still felt today, with many First Nations groups currently facing poverty, homelessness and health issues. Despite all these challenges, there is still hope for First Nations communities in the form of solutions that will help them flourish through economic reclamation. So he talks about financial inclusion and things like that. He continues in the article later on. He says, however, the Reserve Bank of Australia recently came out and said that they haven't done anything to help Indigenous Australians, but they are looking into it. Well, that's nice of them. Pressure from the Reserve Bank of Australia and the government may force financial institutions to take 3% pledge of the future years. Yeah, we've been stealing your stuff for all these years. Oh, we're thinking about giving you something back. But anyway, I'm going to keep reading because I don't want to be sounding too facetious here. In the meantime, financial institutions and banks are probably going to keep downplaying or deflecting discussions on financial targets while promoting their tokenistic or symbolic gestures towards reconciliation. Financial education is good, but if you don't have any money to manage, then how to manage your personal finances course may not be worth it. Anyway, it's a very good article, but it is a view from inside the Commonwealth, and we've got some good news for people out there. Guess what? The financial system is one that your mob can create, its own financial system. You can have a problem with yourself then because you've got to design it. The energies form their central bank digital currency, and we're looking at financial inclusion on a global scale. We just don't want to do business with Australia. We want to deal business with Russia and Israel and all that mob. We'll send this fellow over there and all those kinds of things. And I know that, people have heard about our central bank digital currency, but, it's still going. We're still ironing out all the bugs. But that's a beautiful thing because we're doing it for ourselves and doing it for the nation and doing it for the future generations. And this is the good news now. You can form your own banks, but you've got to be under your law, not Australian law, to create that. You can't use that Mr. Smith name. You got to go back to, Johnny Cassowary or something, whatever your name is over that side. Might be Kangaroo or Mr. Wombat, whatever it is, right? You got to go back to that name there and create all them things under that name and leave Kangaroo and Emu on that side. But you form your bank to look after Australia too because you got all them businesses there. You can spend your money at the local coffee shop or here and there and support them. And they can get that support too. And that's what this is all about, isn't it, Ganyara? I think it's quite simple from our point of view.
It's very simple from all points of view. Don't worry about just from ours. Because we'll just go, once again, we'll go and do the technical stuff. What they say in the Mabo determination? Aboriginals underwrote Australia. That's a pretty good position to be. That means you had the money and the wealth to create Australia. It's your Australia. You actually mentioned there, and it just pricked me ears, was reconciliation. Let's reconcile the books. Come on. Australia, the colonial world, get your books out and we'll go to Article 28 of the UN Declaration of Rights for Indigenous People. Let's reconcile the book. It says give the land back or give back what you've taken from them or pay them for the place. You talk about financial inclusion, let's use Article 28 as the mechanism to reconcile the books, what you've taken from me and given to them. Besides that, then there's also the last 200-odd years of disadvantage of using your assets to generate wealth. So not only have you lost your asset, you've lost the ability to generate wealth. So let's reconcile that in the books. Let's throw that in the mix. How much do the colonial worlds, including the Commonwealth of Australia, owe the Aboriginal people? A rough figure. Anyone give me just a rough ballpark figure. Within 10, 15 trillion, we'll have a bit of a guess. We're not going to be too accurate. But, that's right. We now have the ability to form our financial systems, our central banking system, because our systems are backed by the wealth of the nation. not by some fiat currency, not by some make-believe stuff. Our assets back are our wealth, and that's our financial wealth. Not just some make-believe stuff like Australia has, or you know the federal dollar, you know, the US Federal Reserve, the US dollar there. Have a look at what we have. Have a look at what's owed to the nation. Have a look at what, under Article 28, Australia and the colonial world owe each and every individual Indigenous nation on the continent. Give me a value on that, because that is what's going to back your dollar, your money, the one that's been used to underwrite Australia and continue the underwriting this time legitimately. And the only way you can underwrite them is through a financial instrument. You know, let's do this all above board this time. Let's do it properly. And anyone can do this. Any nation can do it, as long as it's made under legislation. So the Yidinji dollar is created under the Currency Act. Simple as that. We have the right to make it under our constitution. It's our nation. It's our world. And we did create it.
Yeah, we're not just getting one piece of paper and putting, I'm just drawing that number on there. Like, you know, we're not making money like that, you know. But we even make a law, it's written down that we can make that, and there's a certain amount and all that kind of stuff. And you know, you got to work hard for this. Even with that binal, that shell, you got to go out there and collect it. Olden times, you know, for trading and all that. You can't just, oh, it's going to fall out of the sky into my hand. So that's what I'm saying now. You know, Yidinji's done a lot of hard work in the last 9 years, and we're going to give that to you, and you'll pick it up in a few more years quicker. Because he's probably smarter than all of us, but we don't care. But we're here to help. Yeah. And I think that's what really is coming down to it now. All these mob here, they're looking at what we're doing. You know, the financial sector in London, the City of London, which is one of the biggest, if not the financial capital of the world, that in Wall Street, New York, the bankers and all the private guys there are looking at our CBDC, our central bank digital currency. You know, this is everything we do. We're making history around the world, just as this little office here is Yidinji. Yidinji got a big name, but no blanket here. You know, that's what I'm saying. We got a big name everywhere else, but something's stopping us here. Who's stopping us?
You've got to ask that question and look at yourself. You've got to reflect back upon yourself. As we grow, it's actually speeding up. You know, we had all this stuff going back years ago. There was a lot of infighting, a lot of squabbling and arguing. But that's going back, you know, 15 years. These are the leftover days from ATSIC and Native Title and all this sort of stuff that it held the Indigenous nations back. And I got to wonder if it wasn't the Australians antagonising the Indigenous peoples to get them to fight and argue so they can't go back and federate or join back up or form a society. You know, it was very convenient for Australia that the Aboriginals were fighting each other. You know, that's part of the problem with these missions. You ever look on all these, the missions around the North Queensland, for example, they put multiple tribes into someone's country, into one person's country, and that's where the fights come up. They, most of them people shouldn't be on them places. They belong to one mob. Same here, you know, you see it everywhere. So the mobs are fighting, and that's good for Australia. While we're fighting, they don't have to worry about this. But now Yidinji sort of got over the fighting stage, got things on track now and moving ahead. Now we're to the stage of creating things like, you know, digital currency. I've got a funny feeling with the digital currency that a lot of fiat money will flow into it because the world is going through a bit of an upheaval at present. You know, with what backs the US dollar? What backs the Australian dollar? Nothing. They can just print this stuff up. You know, when this pandemic, this COVID stuff come around, they started printing money up by the bucketfuls. And they were literally helicoptering the money out to people, just throwing it out the door to them. And they could do that, but just printed. Now they've got inflation. That's the problem. So people are going to start to look for a safe asset where there's some value to that asset, that money. And that looks to be maybe the Yidinji one is the only one so far that I can see anywhere in the world that will have some asset backing it, be it carbon, be it gold, be it whatever, the value that Australia owe us.
Yeah, even that bloke from Facebook or Meta, he tried, he lost billions of dollars. Because he got no sovereignty. You know, he did that as a company and trying to, through Facebook or Meta, trying to make his own government coin or his own special coin, but that fell down. But because this government here is from all the resources on that land there, we got something to say, our dollar is from this place here, look. Not just printing it out on a machine like that, winding it up and just giving it out like a lolly. So that's what I'm saying. We've got to be smart about this, and I'm glad, Connor, that you're part of the story, because if it wasn't for the wisdom of the elders, we might be still fighting now.
Yeah. So this is very good. He's going very good, you know, with Murumu and Ganjira and Yoram and my daughter, Wheela Hazel. So as an elder for the Edingi tribe, that if you say Peter Hyde, they'll be saying, that's the fella there. That's Richard Hyde's son, Charlie Hyde. Now, as an elder here, that we've got a nice office, and what these lot saying, you know, they've been a bit more education than me, but I've got about Aboriginal thing. I'm educated about that. When I'm in that party, they'll step back, because I've been born that way. You can't take it out of me. And as an elder for Cairns, from Redlands right back, or Double Island, and whereabouts Andrew at Edingi, I'm the elder. My language name Bumi. I've been lived that life, and I know what I'm talking about. I maybe wasn't good in school, but you can't beat me on the other end. So these lot, you know, my kids here, they know what they're talking about here, and they really shift me too. You come out and we go walk about, I'll show you all these places. And these lot are going to know it when we go out there. So I'm very proud of these lot here now. I got in there, Yoram and Murumu and Ganjira and my daughter, Aisel, Wheela, that we're going to go out there. And like I said in some meetings and all these things, I said, you've got to give me something. You've got to give me something to prove to me now, you know. So not us, but some other people who want to claim my property and all this and that, and saying, see, when I came aboard, when I was teaching kids in here, I got a lot of body. They pulled me down and said, but I'm still gone. And this and that and this and that, but I still got to go. Yeah.
Yeah, so that's good. Lots of good things happening here on the Edingi Territory. We got, you know, we're developing a software program and all that kind of stuff. We've got the digital app. We got the central bank digital currency. We got lots of things in play at the moment that's going to change the world, and the world's going to look at it and go, oh, we might try and copy that. And anyway, earlier I mentioned the issue of genocide, and one particular story that I think, Ganjira, you posted on one of the social media things that you have, the accounts. It's about Bentinck Island's last people, the fight for their homeland after a lifetime of dispossession. And I think there's the Kaitut people over that way, and then you've got a few others. But they were the my memory serves me correct. They didn't really come across them until quite late. I know that Machunk, for example, 1938, a guy called I think Joseph Chapman was there. That's what Edward River, what Australians would say, Edward River or something like that. But Ganjira, this one's quite interesting because there are still people alive who remember this stuff.
Oh, absolutely. And it absolutely resembles every aspect of genocide. If you read the article, it's a good one in the ABC, where it says basically they were removed from the island, they were chained to the trees and then forced onto base, you know. Now, if that ain't, you know, forced removal, what is? You know, they were given English names, so they were trying to force them to assimilate into the Commonwealth of Australia, for example. Now, this is in the time of Australia, by the way, the Commonwealth of Australia. Don't blame the British for this one, but this was in the realm of the modern Australia, the contemporary Australia. There was cultural genocide, you know. They weren't allowed to speak, you know, their language. They weren't allowed to believe anything. All this sort of caper. So this was genocide. This was forced assimilation, genocide, taking kids from one nation and putting them into another. It was every aspect of it. And what I find very difficult to comprehend is why it hasn't been prosecuted, because people are alive from both sides of this story. There are the perpetrators and those who have had this perpetrated upon. Why haven't they prosecuted? There just seems to be no appetite inside the Commonwealth of Australia to prosecute the crime of genocide that happened to a group of people now in modern history, in modern times.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of, and rightfully so, a lot of groups and lawyers and stuff that look after refugees and this, that and the other. But where are the people looking after this stuff? You know, this is they've got blood on their hands. Shame on them. Shame. You know, if this was our parliament, I'd be saying shame a lot. And I'll be banging that table like this too. But I'm serious now because this is a serious thing. Genocide has happened. Genocide is serious. Genocide is from Satan. I can tell you that right now. That's Antichrist. That kind of behavior. And guess what? We've been asking for COVID vaccinations from Australia, and they didn't even give it to us. Are they trying to kill us now? Are we trying to help them out? We come and eat with nice flour, everything, chocolate here. We can come have a date with us. No more. They've got a knife behind their back, might be. I don't know. Or might be man wearing woman dress there. We don't know. We've got gun there. But this is serious business now, you know? I'm telling the truth now. We've been writing a letter there for vaccinations for our citizens. Because they said, oh, there's a pandemic around the world. They're killing everyone around the world. Well, if they're killing everyone around the world with it, how come you never give us those vaccinations? So our doctor here, our medical staff, medical officer can do it. You know? Shame on them. Where are these big lawyers, these great Australians who want to protect and defend the Constitution of Australia? When we asked the Foreign Affairs Minister, Maurice Payne, for a stock of vaccines, they didn't even bother to write back to us. Are they trying to kill us off now? Are they trying to kill us off to stop us from what we're doing? I don't know. Ganyara, what do you think?
It's genocide through and through. Now, Australia is in between a rock and a hard place. If they acknowledge us, they agree that we are here. If they ignore us, you know, it's just genocide or attempted forced assimilation, one or the other. So they can't really do much here in that respect. They should have supplied the vaccinations, you know, because it is seen now as a way of depriving the Yidinji nation of something to sustain life. Have a look at the definition of genocide. Just like in this article here up in the Gulf, it is very interesting that the Western world doesn't want to prosecute Australia. Now, it wasn't it Prime Minister Keating that got up and said in 1992 that we'd done the murdering? And yet, nothing's happened to that. When Duterte, the Prime Minister of the Philippines, said he threw a bloke out of a helicopter, the UN said we've got to go and prosecute him for that. He threw one bloke out of a helicopter, yet Keating said they'd done some murdering. You know, fair's fair. Let's call it for what it is. You know, I think there's a bit of bias going on, but in this situation up in the islands there, that was forcing them off there. That is genocide. That's forced assimilation. That's a crime against humanity. They've got nowhere to really go with this. Now, interestingly, there's been a number of people reshare that post, and it has gone all over the world, and yet some are inside the Justice Department, which is good. You know, they're starting to see it for what it is. Maybe they might want to prosecute that. You know, maybe they might want to sort the crime out while people are still alive, because, you know, they're still hunting the Nazis down, so there's no two ways about that. What happened over there was horrific, but so is this. You know, there's no difference. Genocide is genocide.
Well, I'm going to read this Genocide Convention Act, which is Australian law, by the way, and international. All the UN member states have signed this. And Maurice Payne, if you're listening to this program by any miracle, I don't want to take you to the International Criminal Court or anyone else, but I certainly want to sit down and have a cup of tea and yarn, because it says here in Article 2, we've asked you for these vaccines so we can vaccine our citizens. We have a chief medical officer. We have a director of health. We have qualified people in our world to do it. It says, in the present convention, genocide means any of the following acts committed with intent to destroy, in whole or in part, a national, ethnical, racial or religious group as such. Killing members of the group. Causing serious bodily or mental harm to members of the group. I'm fretting here because I don't want to die from COVID. C. Deliberately inflicting on the group conditions of life calculated to bring about its physical destruction in whole or in part. By you denying us vaccines, you are possibly calculating our death. We're not going to give that vaccine to you. Yeah, it's a pandemic. Everyone should be vaccinated. It should be mandatory or whatever people are talking about out there. But don't give it to those black fellas. Don't give it to your dingy citizens. Might be let them die out like they tried to do it last time when they first got here. So this is very, very serious business, Australia. Where are these great Australian lawyers and politicians and celebrities jumping up and down for your dingy? We don't hear much about that. Or anyone else, for that matter, for the Kaidok people or anyone else. So that's what I'm saying now. We're doing our bit we're creating all the mechanisms for a really important treaty, but Australia doesn't want to come to the table, it seems. It doesn't want to talk to us officially, you know, and that's a kick in the teeth for us. We're the boss here. We pre-1770. They Johnny come lately, 1901. What's going on?
I think what's going on is they don't want to acknowledge the truth that they might have to pay a bill under Article 28. And that's as simple as it gets. They're absolutely terrified of that article. Give the place back or pay them for the place. What are they going to do? They physically can't.
Yeah, well, I'm talking about the life after this one too, brother. Like, you know, where's the Australian Christian lobby? You know, where are all these so-called Christians who maybe they don't know what's going on, but we're going to let them know. You got to know about this stuff. But anyway, you're listening to Blackwell Tribal Edition right across the planet today. Thanks to the Yidinji Broadcast Service and our friends at Bumbabrip Media. We'll be back after the break. Look, it's gone so fast, and, you know, I'm not an anti-vaxxer, but the Commonwealth of Australia might be the biggest anti-vaxxer on the planet by not supplying that stock of supply for the Yidinji Nation. You know, I'm serious about that. We have written to the Foreign Affairs Minister, Maurice Payne. She's gallivanting around Europe, shaking hands and posing for pictures with the Prime Minister or President of Kosovo, this, that and the other. You know, like I said, I don't want her to get into trouble. But this is about just sitting down and saying, hey, look, we can sort this out. We're adult enough. But are they? Final comments, Ganyara?
Look, the anti-vaccine stuff, you know, that they're going on with, they don't want to give it to us. I've got a feeling it might be more of the pox-ridden blankets. Let's hope it kills them, gets rid of them. We don't have to address the issue if they're gone. Simple as that.
Unless they're saying they think we don't want to poison them with that vaccine. They're saving us from not having it. I don't know.
Well, you don't know what it is, but we did ask for it for those who are vulnerable, you know, that may need it. Those who have a compromised immune system, they may need it. But it's got to be made available so that the choice is there. But at present, the choice isn't there. So it could be a form of, you know, attempted genocide, wipe them out, hope they die, go away, whatever. But remember with genocide, one thing you've got to remember with that, there's multiple parties to genocide. There are those who it's perpetrated upon, you know, as in the Jews. There are those who perpetrate it, like as in the Nazis. But then there are those who stand by idly and do nothing and watch it. And they're just as guilty as those who perpetrate the crime. If you see something serious...
What a shame.
If you see something serious, report it. Do something about it. You know, hold the government to account that is doing this. And this was the Commonwealth of Australia. Now, that's an admission. Paul Keating admitted it. You know, it just goes on and on. When is Australia going to say enough's enough and we'll sort this mess out and try and form some sort of cohesion amongst the people on this great continent?
Bumi, what's some last words for those people listening?
Yeah, hello out there. I'd like to see Scott Morrison alive. I ever talked to him, and he dingy people go down to Canberra or he come up here and we can sit and have a talk. Yeah, I say, Colin. And have a good day. What do you reckon, Hazel?
Yuriman, final words?
Yeah, well, you know, it's just the example is being set. You know, the opportunity for everyone within the country to take up and, you know, stand within their own law. And as Ganyara said before, it's as it's always been on this continent. It's always been within your people. It's always here. It's just been put down on paper. And now it's here for them, the rest of the country, to see it.
Yes, that's it for us. A bit of a passionate plea there, but at the end of the day, we are who we are. And Gaya Baragalanyunda, may God's peace be upon you, wherever you are listening to this program, in the mighty name of Yeshua HaMashiach. And we'll catch you next week. Garu.
Trying to live with me in Woodland, trying to say I got no good blood in my veins. I'ma say I'm a good man. My melanin's got you feeling some kind of way.
I guess my color and my lingo equivalent to a pistol. Yeah, can't even shop at the mall. Stigma's got my people not shopping at all. We start emerging, then emergency call. The feds are pressed, what's the urgency for? Shopping centers we cannot enter. An open letter for society's sake. Innocent people that society break. If it's required, then they hiding the tape. Roles reverse, ain't waste time, they providing a name. It's a goddamn shame. Treated like aliens, people of power equal fake alias. Justice system is failing us, FML to Australia. The news done, got us screwed. They feed you lies, you call it true. I win, you lose, no need for proof. At 3% of Australia, what's the ultimate failure? Everything that I said is exactly what they gon' say to you. I told you the truth hurt. Guess my color and my lingo equivalent to a pistol.
Tryna live with me, I'm tryna say I got no blood in my veins.
I see my fair share of unfair look at what you done with.
I see I'm a good man. Good man. My melanin's got you feeling some kind of way.
I guess my color and my lingo equivalent to a pistol. Run for cover. This is Australia, no Ganu Glover. They won't play this on the radio. I play this every single day just to let my neighbors know that we won't go down without a fight. A simple act of human rights. I'm honor, don't mean honor. I'm another human sacrifice. I'm pro-black, no anti-white. Love my nana white woman, tuck me in at night. Y'all heard we went from owners to slaves. They took our children away. They said sorry, but they still taking children today. They swept it under the mat. Expect us not to react when we react. Media says attack of the blacks. That's 3% of Australia. What's the ultimate failure? Everything I said is exactly what they gon' say to ya. I told you the truth hurt. That's my color and my lingo equivalent to a pistol.
Tryna label me a hood line. Tryna say I got no good blood in my veins.
I see my fair share of unfair look at what you done here.
I'ma say I'm a good man. My melanin's got you feeling some kind of way.
I guess my color and my lingo equivalent to a pistol.
Tryna live with me a woodland, tryna say I got no good blood in my veins.
finish. The fact of the matter is, we just black matter to them. This just keep happening. Let me hear you, oh my, oh my. Let me hear you, oh my, oh my. This one right here for Marenji. This one right here for Balvin. Bullet men be my enemy. Killers be running around still, serving and protecting white men like a dog with no leash. I'm drunk off what you sold me, yeah, it's off for the police. Now we say black lives matter, but it's the fact of the matter is, we just black matter to them. It's just keep happening. Let me hear your oh my, oh my. Let me hear your oh my, oh my. This one right here for Elijah. Kalgoorlie, raise your lighters and watch that before them can burn down with the murderous liars. He killed a 14-year-old and it's still no hear, no see, no. I fear that there will be no justice ever for my people. So what you finna do, huh? They running this shit, we're running the clip. When the government's all in it, the Royal Commission ain't shit. And man, I'm scared of getting popped by me. Help for them cop riders. One for York, this one for Hickey. Next, it could be our sock. Now we say black lives matter, but ish, the fact of the matter is, we just black matter to them. You should keep happening. Let me hear you.
Still the same, still suffering, still want no justice.
17-year-old TJ Hickey was impaled on a fence at Waterloo after coming off his bike in 2004. His death sparked a riot, leaving more than 40 police officers injured. A coroner found TJ's death was a freak accident and there was no evidence of a police pursuit. The Hickey family and supporters maintain he was chased to his death.
Enough is enough. We have done nothing wrong.
It's been a long campaign. No one is planning on giving up. This one's been-